Today is Wednesday, August 28th, 2013. I'm Peter Apathy, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly has chosen the next municipal administrator. Mark Gorman will be offered the city's top job. The former search vice president has called Sitka home since 1978. He's currently working in the Southeast Asian country of Laos for a non-governmental organization called World Education. Its projects include offering microfinance and helping prevent injury and death from unexploded weapons left behind from war. The decision to offer the job to Gorman came after a long conversation at the assembly table about whether to also consider interim municipal administrator Jay Sweeney. He didn't apply for the job, but his name was mentioned for consideration on Monday night. Assembly members ended up sticking to the original four candidates in their discussion last night. And as KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, it was largely public feedback that changed their minds.
Monday night, the Assembly announced that it might consider Jay Sweeney as one of its finalists for municipal administrator. And on Tuesday, at City Hall, the phones rang and the email came in.
Heard the terms backdoor deal at least a dozen times today.
That's City Human Resources Director Mark Danielson.
I think what we're trying to do here is have a proper process. And for me, that's a process where the citizens feel confident in the results of that process.
And the only other citizen to testify in person last night, School Board President Lon Garrison, said adding a new finalist late in the game does not build confidence.
Should Mr. Sweeney be added to that list, you may cast into question the transparency and equity amongst the other four members applying for the position.
Even Sweeney himself seemed a little uncomfortable being on the list.
I'm really concerned about the public perceptions of being selected for the position without having earned it and having gone through the same process as the other candidates. That's very bothersome to me.
Sweeney said he did not apply for the job originally for a few reasons. Among them, when applications were due, he didn't feel completely comfortable in the role of interim administrator.
Or putting another way, maybe in 5 to 10 years, I'd be in a position where I had more experience, more financial security, I'd be older, and I could better weather an early unanticipated end of my career at a timing other than my choosing.
That last line drew a chuckle from the assembly and from the room. Sweeney is referencing the fact that city administrators don't exactly have a track record for longevity. He said he wants to raise his family here and didn't want to risk taking a job that could end abruptly and force him to move.
I'm the one who brought up Jay's name.
Assembly member Tor Christensen. He says the assembly on Monday night was listing off the qualities it wanted in a candidate and not reaching much agreement on any of the four that they had to consider. But Christensen thought Sweeney met most of the criteria they wanted.
So I said, you know, look, why are we flopping around when we've got somebody already in the position that could possibly meet more of the criteria that we're all looking for?
Michelle Putz said adding Sweeney's name to the list on Monday night was, if anything, evidence that the assembly was behaving transparently and following open meetings laws. Phyllis Hackett, on the other hand, said Monday night's actions were a self-inflicted wound.
We had gained a lot of ground in public trust through this process, and this one incident last night, which really was a misconception, has seemed from the calls I've received today, which are many, to have eroded some of that trust that we have gained through this. And that saddens me greatly.
So the assembly ultimately decided to not consider Sweeney for the job. They went into executive session with only the four names they had interviewed. Okay, that's enough process. Now let's talk about the result. When the assembly emerged from its executive session about an hour and 15 minutes after it began, they actually nominated two of the finalists for the job, Mark Gorman and Sina Gubatayo, the current deputy borough manager in Ketchikan. Municipal clerk Colleen Ingman called the roll, and each assembly member voted for his or her choice.
Mr. Hunter?
Gorman.
Mr. Squiro?
Gubatayo.
Mrs. Hackett?
Gorman. Rife and Esquiro voted for Gubatayo. Hackett, Putz, Christensen, Gorman. Matt Hunter, and Mayor Mim McConnell voted for Gorman. Christensen asked for reconsideration of the vote, and another poll was taken.
Obviously, it's public that Mr. Gorman was not my first choice.
Mike Reif.
Because he's the choice of the majority, and as I have said frequently, all four candidates were candidates that I thought would serve us well. I support Mr. Gorman as our next administrator, and we'll vote for him on the reconsideration.
Pete Esquiro also switched his vote. Word traveled quickly to Gorman, who is already back in Laos. He told KCAW by email, quote, "I am elated and at the same time very humbled by this process. The support that I received from so many people in Sitka has been truly phenomenal and deeply appreciated." The assembly offered him $125,000 a year, $15,000 in moving expenses, and 2 weeks of vacation already in the bank. Missing is a severance package that would have allowed Gorman to collect half a year's pay. That's the deal Jim Dinley took when he resigned in April. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
KCAW is in the process of setting up an interview with Mark Gorman. Listen for it during a future newscast. If you missed any of our administrator selection coverage, you can find it on our website, kcaw.org. The Tlingit-Haida Central Council's Head Start program serves more than 250 Southeast Alaska preschoolers. But those kids will have less time in the classroom this year due to sequestration budget cuts. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld had this look at the council's program and the effects of lower funding.
A visit to the Guthrie home in Petersburg means getting checked out by a curious but cautious black lab.
Shadow, you stinker bug. Okay, back to your rooms. Come on, let's go.
Savan Guthrie, her husband Alex, and their three kids have all been part of the town's Head Start program, run by Tlingit-Haida Central Council.
My first little girl craved socialization. We couldn't give her enough of it, and so for her, I thought it would be a really good place to get to socialize.
Guthrie started taking her daughter just 2 days a week. Soon, both of them and later the other Guthrie kids became regulars.
You were encouraged to come in and sit down and hang out if you wanted to all day, encouraged to come to lunch and bring your other younger kids and, you know, sit and have lunch and socialize and hang out. So I really liked that aspect.
Family contact is a key part of Head Start, a federal preschool education and screening program that began in the mid-60s. Along with working with kids, it helps parents learn more about caring for young children and preparing them for school. But there will be less of that this year. Sequestrations across the board cuts means Southeast Head Start programs will start 3 weeks late. That affects about 260 children at 15 centers in 9 cities. Former Head Start teacher Karen McCullough of Petersburg supervises the program in Southern Southeast.
All the research has shown that socializing children, getting them used to routines, getting them used to playing with other children and relating with other adults, and through those experiences, increasing their language base, really helps children when they enter into the public school system.
Head Start also provides preschoolers with breakfast and lunch and teaches them basic hygiene such as brushing their teeth. Some don't get that at home. Regional Program Director Albert Reinhardt says staff are also trained to spot physical or behavioral problems best addressed at an early age.
We help identify any potential issues that might hold them up later on with their schooling, you know, hearing tests, eye tests, and also other more severe type of disabilities.
The budget cuts will reduce classroom days by close to 10%. It will also lower hours and pay for the region's 55 staffers. Head Start in Southeast is run by the Juneau-based Tlingit-Haida Central Council. As a tribal program, it has a preference for Native children. Another priority is low-income families, but others, such as the Guthries, still get in. Reinhardt says he polled staff about the best way to address the budget cut.
We provided options from a shorter work week to ending the school year earlier or starting the next school year later. And our survey basically overwhelmingly showed support for a later startup.
Officials say funding has been flat in recent years, and that doesn't keep up with inflation. A number of grants are no longer available, which has hurt the program too. Southeast Head Start classrooms open for students on September 23rd. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Petersburg.
Haines, Cake, Heidelberg, and Ketchikan also have Head Start classrooms. They're run by the Anchorage-based Rural Alaska Community Action Program. Officials could not be reached by our deadline for comment on how they're handling the budget cuts. We do have links to some research on the Head Start program on our website at kcaw.org. 80 million pink salmon and counting. Southeast Alaska fishing fleets have set a new record for pinks this summer and are not far from passing the region's record for all five species of salmon. As of this week, preliminary estimates compiled by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game put the Southeast pink catch at just over 80 million, topping the previous record of 77.8 million landed in 1999. The total for all five species that year was just under 98 million, and that's still the record, but maybe not for long. Gillnetters, seiners, and trollers have topped 93 million salmon this summer in Southeast, and the season's not over yet. Fish and Game's preseason forecast for the region was 54 million pinks. Last year's catch was just over 21 million. And as for statewide numbers, the pink salmon catch statewide has topped 203 million. The total for all five species is over 253 million. That's all for Raven News. If you missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, you can go to our website at kcaw.org.